Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our September 4th, 2019 podcast, episode number 71, Sports Betting Apps. Crazy fun. But you know, before you can make those bets at a casino, let's not talk about the apps. When you think about your travel plans, whether it's close to home, a couple-hour drive, or something that requires even a flight, an air flight, how do you make those decisions? You know, some places in the country, there aren't many choices. You know, if you want to go to a casino, there's one to pick from. You know, other places, there's it's almost like a casino buffet. And there's no better example than Atlantic City or Las Vegas. You know, so I want to bring Jenny on first because she's talking about, you know, how you make those tough decisions. There are just so many things that go into it. And let's face it, you know, if you're staying overnight for a couple nights at a casino resort, a casino hotel, and it's a bad hotel and you have a bad room, it can destroy everything. So let's come right back with Janie.
Hi, this is Jane. Just wanted to talk a little bit today about what is your criteria for picking a casino or hotel or both as a resort. I know it can be many reasons for many people. I'm just curious about it. For me, I think one of the first criteria is the location. Now, the location meaning the proximity to your home. How far do you have to travel? Is it a suburb of Pittsburgh, so you'd go to Pittsburgh? Is this a suburb of Indianapolis, so you'd go close to there? Or is it a proximity to somebody else's house that you like to visit? Maybe your child's house where, you know, my son in Maryland, we like to visit the casinos in Maryland and meet him there. So, or is it maybe a destination plan for your vacation? You want to go to Las Vegas for a vacation, so you're going to check it. That's going to be on the criteria. That's where it's located. Or are you going to Reno? Are you going to Atlantic City? A lot of people go to Atlantic City to because they have the beach there also. So is travel and vacation part of that decision? I think it also depends on how many times a month or a year that you wish to visit. Are you going to make a weekly trip, a monthly trip? Do you go just once a year? I think you have to know that. You also want to go to one, or would probably pick one, that's in a safe area that you consider to be safe, that you feel secure in that area, or your familiarity with that area. The other criteria that you might use is the hotel that's associated with this casino or the hotel itself. Are there attractive rooms in the hotel? How about the staff? Is the staff friendly? Are they helpful? How about at the registration counters? Do you have an easy time there, or is it always a constant hassle and a long wait? Are your questions answered promptly? How about security officials? Have you had to deal with them at all? What about the food options there? I think that in itself gives you a lot of leeway in choosing.
Yeah, Janie, and I think, let's be honest, you're always thinking, is there a Starbucks within the casino hotel? If not within the casino hotel, is there one nearby? Or better yet, do they have Starbucks in the coffee service in the room? oh my goodness. Let's just be honest about that.
Well, for instance, if you want to go to Las Vegas, there's so many restaurants there and so many options, it's almost overwhelming, because you can go to specific restaurants with specific chefs, such as Gordon Ramsay or Bam Amaral or Giada. They all have restaurants there, and there's just so many more to mention. And there's not, I've always said, I've never had bad food in Las Vegas, in any of the hotels we were in any of the other restaurants, even in the residential areas. So I think if you like to eat, and that's maybe one of your criteria, then you know it's a great decision you're going to have to make. We should all have that kind of problem. Ellis Island out there has great food, and as we said before, it's the best pricing on the strip. we find that we like to go to Rocky Gap in Maryland because at LB's restaurant in there, they have amazing crab cakes. In fact, they've been written up in one of the gourmet food magazines as being the best in Maryland. And I'll tell you, they are wonderful. And we have friends who have been affiliated with a restaurant that one of their relatives own, in which they also served, and they agreed that these are the best crab cakes. So that's one pleasantry of going to that particular casino and hotel. I think something else to consider, and which we've always talked about, which we always consider, is this casino hotel in a city or is it in a small town area?
John Cougar Mellencamp's, I was born in a small town.
Would you like to consider the casinos in Baltimore or in the National Harbor in Washington, D.C., or would you like to go to a riverboat casino in a small town, Indiana?
Well, Jenny, I'm picking that riverboat casino in a small town in Indiana, you know? That's just how I feel. And that's not for everybody. It all depends. What was your criteria for fun is?
We can go to the beach at Lake Michigan. We can go to these amazing outlets shopping that's there. We can also visit the University of Notre Dame and St. Mary's College, which is there. So I think you might want to look at that if you're looking for a place to go. In fact, we have mentioned to many parents of students who are attending Notre Dame and St. Mary's that a neat place to stay is the Blue Chip Casino and Hotel Resort, and they've all taken us up on that and thank us for it later because there's never a problem getting rooms and there's so much to do there. So they like to do that. So that's just something you can look at, the surrounding area, what's there for you, because everybody doesn't just sit there all day and gamble. Another option, which is big, is the entertainment. We went to see America perform. The boomers are big on these shows anymore. Seeing groups from the 60s and 70s, they seem to be appearing at all the casinos. They almost all have great facilities for these groups, and it's just a lot of fun. So that you might want to take the entertainment in. Some of the hotels and casinos will comp you the tickets for these shows. They'd do anything to bring you in. So just look around and see what you might want to do. Do you really want to spend a weekend seeing a group that you liked from the 60s or 70s or 80s? Would you like to go to a beach while you're there? Do you want to visit a school? You also then want to look at some of the features that the casinos offer. Like, is there a sports book available? That, now that it's legal, and not just in Las Vegas, sports book betting, almost all the casinos are trying to comply with that and put in sports books. So you might want to see what's available there. Back to the hotels. Again, what are the amenities they offer there? Do they have indoor and or outdoor pools? Are they open year-round? I know we tend to like ones that have indoor heated pools because we go around here in Western Pennsylvania in the winter, can be cold. So we like to do that.
And all you regular listeners know how important swimming pools are to Janie. Oh, professional swimmer almost, if they have such a thing.
A lot of people that go to casinos like to bet on horse racing. So why not go to a casino that has a racetrack with it?
And for us, our best example of that would be in Charlestown, West Virginia. Just a beautiful racetrack, looking out the hotel window and see those horses running every day. And you could certainly go to the track in the afternoon or evenings, my goodness. Also, for us, the Meadows in Washington, Pennsylvania. But, you know, you can find casinos that offer horse racing tracks. And that's just another dimension. Just another dimension for you to enjoy.
Okay, I think a big decision if you're going to make Las Vegas your destination is you have to decide, am I going to stay on the Strip or am I going to stay on Fremont Street?
You know, and for a lot of people, that's a big decision. Like, where's the rest of the people and your crew going? You know, because Fremont Street offers lower rates, that's for sure. But, you know, there's things to consider. I mean, beyond budget. So let me turn it back to Janie.
There's good and bad hotels in both areas, and that's why you really do need to have this list with of criteria so you pick well.
You know, Jenny, that's really a great point, because there are hotels on the Strip that don't meet the standards that we have, and there are hotels on Fremont Street that don't, but there are hotels on Fremont Street that certainly do, and there are hotels on the Strip that we love. So it all comes down to your criteria and making sure, you know, checking things out.
Oh, you're right about that. And we just want to make sure everybody has a pleasant trip and finds the best accommodations possible that meet their needs. But if you don't write down your needs or list them, you won't know.
So if you'd like to call our show, our voicemail, and explain what your favorite hotel is or some of your top choices for the Strip or Fremont Street, hey, we'll appreciate it. And I know our listeners would appreciate it as well. Just give us a call 24/7 at 1-724-519-4556. One more time, that's 1-724-519-4556. Hey, thank you, Janie, for your thoughts on, you know, all the items to consider before you make these reservations at casino resorts, be they close to home or a little further down the road. A lot of things to take in. Don't rush into it. You know, check it out online and make sure things are the way you want. And I know many of you get comped rooms. Even with comped rooms, there's, you know, decisions you have to make. You know, the two biggest operators on the Las Vegas Strip are M Life and Caesars Entertainment. And it goes like this. Like, sometimes from M Life, we gamble more in M Life casinos, so we get better comps. We also get comps at Caesars Entertainment, but we just don't have as many options there because we don't gamble as much. But M Life will say, okay, we'll give you 6 nights at Excalibur, or, you know, 4 nights at Luxor, or 3 nights at Mandalay Bay, or 2 nights at Park MGM. I mean, you know, decisions like that in terms of comps. And also, we're not paying the room rate, but we're still paying the resort fee and taxes. They're not giving us totally free rooms anymore. But, you know, that's all right. That's fair enough. And so even with comps, there are decisions you have to make and use criteria. Maybe Jane can help you think about that a little bit. Like, what exactly are you looking for when you go to a casino, resort, hotel, be it in the middle of Iowa, Council Bluffs, Iowa, or on the busy Strip or Fremont Street in Las Vegas? These are all big, big decisions. Okay, we're going to go to our feature story today, sports apps, crazy fun. After a very short break, hang in there. We'll be right back. Well, as of this date, September 4th, 2019, there are 41 states that have legalized casino gambling. You know, some of them are riverboat legal only and not on land, but that's kind of funny too. You know, that's another topic. Most of the casino riverboats don't move at all. But nonetheless, 41 states and 16 states, and this is changing, you know, by the month, 16 states at this point have also legalized sports betting. And that's in relation to a Supreme Court decision that said sports betting was a decision to be made by the states, not by the federal government. So if you are in a state with legalized sports betting, you may have already, or you will have soon enough, a sports app. And that's, of course, about convenience. And there's a couple legal ones in Pennsylvania. The one I'm using is betrivers.com. And one of the big differences for me with a sports app, kind of makes it a little more fun, is that you don't have to put so much money at risk. For example, in Pennsylvania, you can bet $1 on a sports app. $1. I would never go to a sports book in Las Vegas or Atlantic City and go to the window and bet $1. You know, I don't even think you can. I never knew if there was a minimum or not, because I always bet at least $25. So that's what I'm saying. But I often bet $2 on baseball games, you know, and it might be that, you know, you do something like this. You know, you're going to bet $20, but you're going to bet 10 games at $2 each, you know. And that's kind of the fun thing about it. But I wanted to say that I don't bet spreads. I bet the money line. And, you know, most people are much more comfortable betting spreads, whether their team is a dog, you know, underdog by three or favored by seven, you know, and the science that's used to determine those things are, it's esoteric, right? Abstruse, there's another word. It's too damn hard to understand. But I like the money line. So let's talk about the money line. And there's something that's immediately confusing to most people that don't know the money line. And that is, if your team, the team you're betting on, is favored, they'll have a minus number in front of it. And so even though you can bet $1 or $5 on these sports apps, I'm going to use $100 to explain what that's all about. So say your team had a minus 105 in front of it, and that's the team you want to bet. Well, if you bet $105, you would win 100. That's what they're telling you. If your team is minus 140, that means you have to bet $140 to win 100. Let's say your team was unbelievably talented in whether it's college or NFL, and it's a minus 260. Well, that means you have to risk $260 to win 100. So when you're talking about a minus number, you have to bet more to win less. You know, so, hey, a character like me, if I'm betting $2 on a minus number, you know, I might win 95 cents. But, you know, there's a little bit of a fun element there, you know. I'm going to talk about the plus numbers now. So if I'm betting a team that's plus 105, that means if I bet $100, I'm going to win 105. So I'm going to win more than what I bet on those plus numbers, because the plus number teams are underdogs. They're dogs, sometimes by just a few points, sometimes by a whole lot of points. You know, I recently bet $5 on Nevada to defeat Purdue on the money line. And my $5, Nevada pulled the upset, I think the upset of the college season, and I won $18 on a $5 bet. So I also parlayed, made a parlay bet on the money line. I picked Nevada to beat Purdue, which I knew was a long, long shot, but it happened. And then I picked Notre Dame to beat Louisville on Labor Day evening. And since I'm recording now here on Labor Day, I don't know what's going to happen, but obviously the Irish are big favors. But it doesn't matter. There's no spread that I picked. All they have to do is win. And that parlay bet of $20 will pay me almost $70. So that's a nice bet. I'm pretty much saying it's a sure thing. And I'm recording here at 10 o'clock in the morning. So I have to wait till the evening's game to determine that. But the money line, one more time, if it's a minus number, you'd have to bet that amount to win 100. So again, if it's minus 110, that means you'd have to bet 110 to win 100. Now, you don't have to bet 100. You can bet $5, $4, $3. And so you're going to win less than that if it's a minus number. But again, there's no spread involved. If it's a plus number, your team is the underdog. So if it was a plus 110, you bet 100, you'd win 110. If it's a plus 260 and you bet 100, you'd win 260. So that's the mystery of the money line. And again, you don't have to worry about winning because you beat a spread. All your team has to do is win when you bet the money line. And to me, that's the big advantage. And these sports apps are crazy, crazy fun because, you know, I put $2 on this game, $5 on this game, you know, $4 on this game. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just that I'm not betting a whole lot of money. So I might bet, you know, on a college Saturday, I might bet parlay two games, or I'm, you know, for $5, you know what I mean, with the possibility of winning 25. I might just bet six games at, you know, $5 each. And I would never drive to the River Sportsbook in downtown Pittsburgh, which is 35 minutes from my home, to make a $5 bet on a team. But with a sports app, I could do that in, you know, half a minute. The other thing I want to explain to you about sports betting apps, they have geolocators because, again, this is determined by the state whether sports betting is legal. So any of you in the country or around the world can download the BetRivers sports app, but you can't place a bet because you also download a geolocator. and it determines if your laptop, your tabletop computer or your smartphone is located in Pennsylvania. If you're not located in Pennsylvania, it will not permit you to make the bet. So again, if I have a sports app, and let's say, as Janie mentioned, we're visiting our son in Columbia, Maryland, and his family, I couldn't use that sports app that day to place a bet because it would not find me in Pennsylvania. So that's how it works. And, you know, you can bet offline and do those kind of things, but I'm saying, hey, don't even think about that now. You know, bet legally, take that pressure off yourself, and have fun with it. You know, just be reasonable about it. I already placed bets on the World Series and the Super Bowl and, you know, all that because that's a long way off, and the odds right now are a little bit better, you know, for the better, a little pun there, than they might be 2 weeks or 3 weeks before the World Series or the Super Bowl. So let's face it, can you pick the Kansas City Chiefs or the Boston Patriots or the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the Super Bowl right now? Sure you can. On these sports apps, you can. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I hope you got the bug. Sports apps are crazy fun. Yes, they are crazy fun. And we're coming back for many people's favorites who will listen to these podcasts, and that's a little bit of Craps Talk. We'll do the countdown, and we're into Craps Talk, and today we're talking about don't pass line odds. Uh-oh, not as esoteric as one might believe, but it's different for most people because they never play the don't pass line. Don't pass line odds coming up in Craps Talk.
3, 2, 1.
So in the game of craps, once a point is established, how do you win if you're betting the pass line? Well, the point numbers are 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. Somebody has to roll that point before they roll a 7. And if you have an odds bet behind the pass line, and this is always strange because there's no indication on the felt where that would be, so you just put your odds bet behind the pass line, you would win the odds bet as well. So the pass line pays even money. Well, how do you win from the don't pass line once the point's been established? That 4-5, that 6-8, or the 9-10. The puck goes to that point and it's the established point. Somebody made it on the come out roll. So how do you win if you have money on the don't pass line? Well, somebody has to throw a 7 before they roll that point number. So although the pass line has the advantage statistically, on the come out roll, because a 7 or 11 wins, there are more ways to make a 7 than any other number. That flips immediately once a point's established because there's more ways to make a 7 than any other number. It's more likely, not by much, but it's more likely that a 7 will be rolled before the point number. Well, if the point number is a 4 or a 10, and you want to add to the bet, which pays even money on the don't pass line, just as the pass line does, you need to make a don't pass line odds bet. And, you know, don't worry about how it goes down. It doesn't go down behind the line. You're going to put it right next to your bet. You know, have one chip of your odds bet touch your bet. And if you don't know how to set it up, you can't explain it this way, so you need a visual picture. Don't worry about it. The dealer will adjust it. You know, I make the bet right sometimes, and the dealer still adjusts it. You know, just moves it a micro inch, whatever, you know, to say, like, hey, I'm the dealer, you're not. But it's just the opposite of the pass line odds. Okay, let's start with the outside numbers, the 4 and the 10. You need to bet at least twice as much as you bet on the pass line. $5 on a pass line, $10 odds bet, because it pays for every two chips you bet, you win one. So if you're at a $5 table and you make a $10 odds bet and a 7 is rolled, you'd win $5 on a don't pass line. And on that $10 odds bet, you'd win $5. Why is that? Why is that? Because for every two chips you bet, you win one. So it's one for two. That's how it works. And again, it's that way because you have an advantage. You know, the 5 and 9, boy, you know, when you're betting odds behind the pass line and it's a $5 table and you put $10 behind your pass line bet and a 5 or a 9 point number hits, you're going to win $15 on that $10 bet, you know? So it's 3 for 2, right? 3 to 2. But if you're reversing that and you're on the don't pass odds, you're making a don't pass odds bet, and it's a $5 table, I got to put down $15, 3 red chip, besides my don't pass line bet. And I'm going to win $10. And I often make that bet. You know, if it's a cold table, I often make that bet. So let me just stop here to explain your thinking. Oh, how can you make that bet, you know, once the point's established? Because very often, I on the come out roll, I put $5 on the dome pass and $5 on the pass line. Yeah, that's what I do. And so if the number is a 4 or a 10, I'm going to go with dome pass odds. If the number is a 5 or a 9, and it's a cold table, I'm going to go with dome pass odds. But if the number is a 6 or an 8, wow, listen carefully. I'm not going to bet against a 6 or 8 90% of the time. I'm going to pick up my $5 on the don't pass line, and I'm going to move it behind the pass line bet and add $10 more to it for a $15 bet, odds bet, behind the line, behind the pass line. You see the flexibility that system gives me? But if I did want to bet from the don't pass strictly and not think about the pass line, and I didn't have the $5 on the pass line when the game, the come out roll began, then I need to put $6 down to win 5. So more common for me is I'll put $12 down to win 10. So 5 pays 6. If you're a pass line bettor, you're thinking that that's a pretty good deal. But if you're a don't pass line bettor, 6 pays 5. You go 6 pays 5, 12 pays 10. That's how it works. 18 pays 15. It just flips around. I'm going to say there's not one right way to play craps. And any pass line system, let's be honest with one another. Any pass line system, whether it's smart craps, you know, whether it's a hybrid kind of system, if the table is cold, ice cold, frigid, you're going to get smacked. And so what do? Do you just stop betting? Do you just walk away? Yeah, a lot of people do that. If you're a pass line player and the table's ice cold, you know what? Just look around. There's no chips on the chip rails. People are getting killed. Well, what I do is I'm going to go to the dome pass. In fact, when I go to a table and I'm not sure how it's going, I often start the game from the dome pass and thinking, well, if the table gets hot, I'll become a pass line bettor. So I enjoy that flexibility, that being able to use the pass line and the dome pass line in the ways that I want to. And I understand pass line odds as you do. And I completely understand dome pass odds as I hope you do. It just makes the game have a little more substance for me, you know, that I'm not just a pass line bettor. And this idea that, you know, dome pass players or curmudgeons, forget that. There are more and more people, you know, jumping on the dome pass line. You know, to hell with that. I don't go to a craps table to be popular. I go there to have fun and enjoy myself, but I have the most fun when I win. And I'm not going to fight a streak. I mean, if someone's knocking down points, I'm going to get on that streak. I'm going to go to the pass line. If I'm on the pass line and you know, I go 3 shooters without a point, then I'm going to go to the dome pass and see what happens now. So that's the way I think about it. So this was big today, you know, with Janie's comments about her criteria for choosing a casino resort. Sometimes it can be very challenging. There's a lot of things to consider, to the crazy fun of just betting a few bucks from the money line on sports betting apps, which, again, 16 states have legalized sports betting, so the apps are there or they're on their way. There's just one more thing I want to share with you. The July report from the Nevada Gaming. So let's talk about what's going on in Las Vegas in the month of July 2019. And you know what? It may surprise you. The Nevada Gaming Control Board reported last week that the state gaming win for July surpassed $1 billion. These casinos in Nevada are rocking for the second straight month. And Clark County, that's the Las Vegas area, showed improvement over a year ago. My goodness. It was actually a record at McCarran International Airport in Las Vegas. 4.1 million flyers. People flew into that Las Vegas airport. And 3.6 million of those people stayed in hotel rooms on the Strip or on Fremont Street or nearby the Strip. Can you believe that? 3.6 million people. And weekend occupancy? This answers your concerns about why weekend rates are so high. We're over 97%. No wonder they don't have to give you great deals on weekends. People are coming regardless. People are coming regardless of those rates. So I wanted to share that with you before we close today. I guess proliferation of casino gambling in 41 states, surprisingly, has not really hurt Las Vegas. $1 billion in wins for two consecutive months. In July, supposed to be a slow month, but even so, McCarran International sets a record at 4.1 million people. Oh my goodness. 97% weekend occupancy in July. Such a hot month, July. Okay. Well, you know, Casinos USA, we're a place that we seek life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we're a special place where every day is Saturday. Hey, y'all. See you in a couple of weeks. So long. Bye-bye.